Our God and our Father in heaven, this is a glorious day to be alive. Lord, weather-wise, it's tremendous. We almost can't believe that this is the end of January and we're having such good weather. So we thank you, Lord. Lord, even with the passing of Sister Lynch, Donna's mom, this week, even with that, Lord, we still can thank you and praise you. Because we know that she died in you. She had evidence that she trusted in you. Lord, we have been tested, we have been tried, but here we are. We came out stronger, and here we are to worship you, our living God. We are in this house that was built to represent you. And may we now worship you in spirit and in truth. Take away sleepiness from our eyes and tiredness, Lord, and help us know to rest in Jesus Christ, to rest in your word. This is after the midday hour. Help us then to be fully alert, to pay attention to the message you're sending to us. May our hearts rejoice in you. Take away our sins, Jesus. Cleanse us and purify us. Because if the sanctuary is cleansed and we are not cleansed, then for us as individuals, the cleansing of the sanctuary was in vain. It's actually condemnation for us. So we ask that you cleanse our sins now. Wash us and make us whole. In the holy name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. It's good to see each of your faces in church today. And the Lord is doing a work among us. May his great grace continue to work in our hearts. And may he seal us for heaven to come. We are not going to make it up to heaven if we are not sealed. We have to be sealed to make it there. I've been doing some remodeling work at home, or I should say I've been having it done. I do some of the labor myself, what I can do. And we had the floor done, and we're in the process of redoing that floor that we just had done. It wasn't done right. And yesterday when the professionals came in, they put on a thing that is called a wood conditioner. And then they'll put their layers on Monday and maybe Tuesday. And then they said something to me that got my attention. On Wednesday, the final day that they will work, they'll put on something that seals the wood or seals the process that they have been doing. And likewise for us, God has been doing a work in our heart, but without the final sealing, we cannot make it over to the heavenly Jerusalem. We have to be sealed. And so each of us should study what the seal of the living God is. That's not my sermon title today, but somebody was prompted to say that to you. You need to study the seal in work and understand for yourself what is the seal of the living God and how you should receive the sealing yourself. And I wonder, do you think there's a set age that we must get to before we can have the sealing? Do you think we're going to be at a set age when Jesus Christ comes? Do you think your age is appropriate right at the age you are to be sealed? These questions I know you can answer. Today I want to talk with you, and it's now 10 minutes after noon. So if we finish before 10 after 1, we'll be doing good. Amen? But I get smiles, but nobody dare say amen for that one. Yeah. Yes, I don't intend to go till 10 after 1. Amen? Amen, amen. But you know, we're in God's house today, and I want to talk to you about speeding up the coming of the day of the Lord. How many of you are drivers? Let me see any of you drivers. There are many drivers. And you know, at set time of the month, like from now through the 31st of January, you have a special set of human beings that tend to show up on the highways around this time of the month. And you know, if you speed, you're likely to be stopped by those special set of human beings, and they may give you a ticket to your dreams. Not quite your dreams, maybe a nightmare. Yes, speeding. And you know, you go in a jet and you don't realize how fast you're going or moving until it's time to take off or when you're landing. That's really when you realize, man, this jet was moving. Because he really checked his speed and lowered his speed before he touched down. And still, when he hits that runway, you realize the buildings are just flying past you. You realize you were really moving, but in the air, it doesn't look like anything. But you're traveling more than 300 miles per hour in one of those jets in the sky. Speeding. And I want you to kind of use your mind now to realize that we can hit the gas pedal for Jesus to come. This is something that we don't maybe think about often enough, that there is something we can do to speed up the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. Speeding up the coming of the day of God, the day of the Lord. When you see some of the atrocities that you have to see today, in your hearts of hearts, don't you want Jesus to come? Don't you want to fast track or speed up the coming of the day of God? When you see the level of human trafficking around the world, don't you think about speeding up the coming of the day of God? When you see the misuse, the abuse, and the trafficking of the sons and daughters of Africa for so long, and practically from all 54 countries of Africa, don't you want Jesus to come? Even if we did before, we can no longer turn a blind eye to these things, for God cares. And so should we. Amen? Now is the time to get involved in speeding up the coming of the day of God. What do you say? Amen. Amen, Arlene. You know, I look out in the world and I see the Israelis. A nation of people who as recently as World War II suffered a massive pogrom, they rather that word, but we most commonly know it as the Holocaust. They suffered through that. 6 million Jews perished at the hand of that barbarous Adolf Hitler. Cruel. That was terrible. Now, what is even very painful to see today is that the same people group, the state of Israel, turn around and do a similar thing to its neighbors. That's the Palestinians. And if you check carefully, they are related, the Jews and the Palestinians. And it's painful to see what is happening. It is true, there's no justification for what happened on October 7. But the things before October 7 and after October 7 ought to be taken in mind as well. And so we sing a song when children come up with a children's story. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, white, all. I wonder if Jesus loves the Palestinian children too. He loves them as much as he loves those little children in Israel that also perished too. Because you know some children died in that brutal attack as well. What I'm saying to God's children is time we think with balance and pray with balance. Because the whole world seemed to side with the Israelis and forget the Palestinians. The Palestinians are real people too. And MLK did say, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I think Jesus died for those Israelis. I think Jesus also died for those Palestinians. I think Jesus died for all the children of the world and all the people of the world. whether they are in Asia, Africa, Europe, South or Central America, North America, you name the part of the earth. And that kind of came out in Sabbath school lesson. Jesus cares for everyone. And I think it's time we as the people of God begin to see that and to apply that. Amen? And when Russia invaded Ukraine, you know, even from this church, we send something to help out the Ukrainian people, you know, with what they have to go through. We should care for all God's children over all the face of the earth. Amen? And I think we do. I think we do. It just serves as a reminder today. Amen? So when we see what is happening, you know, we should take a closer scrutiny of what is going on. For example, and I think you know this already, the Palestinians traced their lineage to Abraham through Ishmael. The Israelis traced theirs through Isaac, and we know the story well. And the truth is, all human beings, my Israeli brothers and sisters, and my Palestinian brothers and sisters, we're all brothers and sisters because we all trace back to Adam and Eve. Amen. I wish the United Nations would look at things that way. We're all one common brotherhood and sisterhood in the web of humanity. And we should look out for one another the same way we care about anyone throughout the length and breadth of this earth. But I think I'm just very optimistic. But I believe in God's kingdom. That's the way it is. Amen? And we know in the earth made new, everything will be taken care of. So either way, we are all related. I'm related to the Jewish man. I'm related to the Palestinian man. We're all related. Amen? I'm related to the Russian man and I'm related to the Ukrainian. We're all related. Amen? And the land of Israel, by the way, was a part of the old covenant. It was a part of the old covenant. And I would like to say to you that when Israel broke off that covenant with God, God broke off that covenant with them. And so there's no divine right to the land, as some preachers or theologians will try to put forward today. No divine. The only people who have a right to the land, so even though you have a title for the home you live in, it's God's land. And it's God's home. And if you don't do right, God has a right to kick you out of his home and out of his land. And ultimately, that's what he's going to do. When Jesus returns, he's going to give Satan evacuation orders from this planet. Somebody should say amen. Amen. The devil claimed to have papers for this world, but Jesus is going to not only, what you call it when you're forcible, remove someone from a home, you evict them. Not only eviction the devil will face, he'll face another E. Execution. Amen. I'm looking forward to the day when the real landlord of this world will step in and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Christ, our Lord and God. Amen. God is in charge and he's going to make sure things are taken care of. So I want to remind you that the Jews of the Bible, they broke the old covenant. And that they were so serious about that they even crucified the Messiah, Christ. And when I say they, I'm speaking of the situation because all of us here is responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. It was collective humanity that was there crying, crucify him. Away with this fella. All of us were there by way of humanity saying the same things. But thank God for Jesus. His love for us is great. Amen. So I want to say to you that the Jews have no more divine right to the land of Palestine than the Palestinians do. Everyone has a right to exist. The Jews have a right to exist. The Palestinians have a right to exist. Amen? All human beings have a right to exist. Yes, and we thank God for that. Now, in Genesis chapter 17... reading the first part of verse 19 and then verses 20, 21, and 22. I just want to remind you this. Then God said, that is the part in verse 19 I want to focus on. Then God says, and then I skip to verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. I'm driving at the point that similar to how God established his covenant with Isaac, and gave him blessings, God gave blessings also to Ishmael. And here we have a record in the Holy Bible. It says there, he shall beget 12 princes, which is so funny, you have the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the 12 princes of Ishmael. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. See, God doesn't show favoritism. Amen? And today the world has a real problem with that. He says, I will make him a great nation. Verse 21. And we cannot run past verse 21. God says, but my covenant I will establish with whom? Isaac. Whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. This was, we get here in the scripture to eavesdrop on a conversation between God and Abraham. Isn't it wonderful that we have record of this? We can read it today 4,000 years later. What a joy it is. 4,000 years later, we can read a conversation that God had with his friend Abraham. This is wonderful. And friends, that's Bible prophecy. Here's something I've been encouraging you to do. When someone comes to you with all the excitement and say, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, ask them for the reference. What Bible prophecy are you talking about? Because it's so common today for people to talk about this prophecy. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Ask what prophecy? What's the reference? Is it Isaiah 22:9? What prophecy is being fulfilled? Please show me the reference. And take the time to go over the reference for yourself. Amen? Because I want to tell you that Bible prophecy is very different from the mightiest of nations' foreign policy. Two different things. Bible prophecy is different from foreign policy. Amen? And we should know which is at play at any given time. We should not confuse the two. Amen? Here's something I want to tell you from Bible prophecy now. Because Jesus tells us that the heart of men will wax cold. King James Version will grow cold. And so don't look for peace between the Palestinians and the state of Israel. Don't look for peace. It's not going to happen. Man, I have Jewish friends and I have Palestinian friends. I play soccer with them both. And I listen to their stories. And as soon as the next child is born and is able to, that hatred is sown to the next generation. And so there's just a generation of hate between these two people groups. The one hate the other. The one can't stand the other. And I said, man, how nice it would be for you to just begin to love and let love reign, and each of you can live in peace. But for some people, they don't see it that way. So don't look for peace between the Palestinians and the state of Israel. You know why I can say that? Who is the Prince of Peace? Man, say it like you ate breakfast, man. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And wherever Jesus Christ is rejected, there can only be emptiness, discontent, a marked absence of peace, inner fightings, and outer wars. Until an individual, a couple, a family, a home, a community accept Jesus Christ, there's no peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and anyone, any couple, any family, any home, any church that wants peace, got to let the Prince of Peace in. Amen. You know, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through to 14. And I'm sorry Luke is not here. I can't get to tease him that I'm reading from his book today, you know. In Luke chapter 2, 10 to 14, it says, then the angel of the Lord said to them, and this is surrounding Christ's birth. Then the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Verse 11, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. End of quote. True peace on earth is reserved for the heart, the marriage, the home, the family, the community that gives glory to God in the highest. We should never desire God's gift without desiring God the giver. Peace cannot be manufactured in a lab somewhere or at the United Nations headquarters. Peace is a gift from God. Amen? Peace is a part of that package called the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that what we are told? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There can be no peace without Jesus, the Prince of Peace. No peace. One of the most outward significant things that I have ever done was to call for, to lead, and to orchestrate a peace treaty between two rival gangs. This was the year 2018. This war was going on for several years. And it's mostly young men that were being killed in this battle. I sat one day and began to count, and I reached the count of at least 42 young men that were murdered between these two gangs, killing each other. And I really took the subject to God in prayer and asked God, what can be done to help these guys to see the light? And I prayed about it for some time, and the Lord flashed that thought in my mind, peace treaty. And I immediately got to work, you know, knew a couple of people on the ground, and so I called them up and pitched the idea to them, and they really liked the idea. I said, well, what you'll have to do, you'll have to get the numbers for these gang leaders, and I'm going to call them. And, you know, the research was done, and I was able to get the phone numbers for the gang leaders for these two factions. And, you know, with much prayer, I personally called up these gang leaders and pitched the idea to them. And they really responded positively and said, yes, we are down for peace. Can you imagine? These guys blazing M16 rifles, AK-47. I mean, just murderous. When they heard the sound of peace, it tickled them and they wanted peace. And I said to these gang leaders, all right, for this to work, I am calling on you to have 30 days where you avoid each other. For 30 days, no bullets fired. Don't shoot at each other. Avoid each other at all cost. And not even fire celebratory gunfire for 30 days. Don't celebrate, because in these parts of Jamaica, whenever one gang gets new hardware, they make the entire region know. You got to know, the enemy need to know when new hardware come in. And so you will hear minutes of just gunfire. They are letting you know this has arrived. And it's sending a signal. We're coming for you. And so I told him, 30 days. No gunfire. And both sides agreed. Both sides agreed. I said, if there is, and you know, I have people on the ground that can report and tell me if there's anything, you know. And they did hold for 30 days. Remember, I'm telling you, this thing is bathed in prayer. I'm telling you that the Prince of Peace is in charge of this. I'm telling you that the glory belongs to Jesus Christ. And I made a trip to Jamaica. And I went to the area and sat with the gang leaders and hear their story. And then I went to the next side and I sat with the gang leaders and I hear their story. And what I did was to listen. And I hear their story. And we finally agreed on a date for peace and a place for peace. This was the year 2018. 2018. Actually, 2017 was the year. It has been 6 full years this past December 22nd. And I didn't even realize it at the time. That's one of my nephew's birthday. And a niece's birthday. I didn't realize until I was just going over the material. These guys literally sign a peace treaty. Literally. Affix their signature with date in the presence of a justice of the peace. Notary public. And that's a detail I can share publicly. Well, I want to tell you that 6+ years later, these two gangs have laid their weapons aside and they've never gone back to full-out war again after 6 years. The killing stopped. And would I tell you that that was December 22nd, 2017. 3 days later was Christmas Day. The two gangs parted together after more than 10 years at war. I can tell you, this is nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. God can bring good out of the worst situation if we would allow him. I want to tell you that God is real. He is real. And when we look at what's happening, our villages and our towns and the cities around us, what can we do? There's much to be done, and I believe that with the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, armed with Jesus Christ, we can go and make a difference in our communities. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7, you know what the word of the Lord says there? And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. How many of you pray for the peace of Elmira? Amen. I see some good witnesses. Pray for the leadership of Chemung County. Sheriff, legislators, those who are the decision makers, the movers and shakers, mayors and pray for the peace of the city in which you live. That's what Jeremiah 27 says. We can make a world of a difference through prayer. Nobody even have to know you're praying. You can do that in the privacy of your mind. You can literally lock yourself in the closet and pray. And you can make a difference through prayer alone. And then as you have opportunity, use your words to witness for Christ. Use your influence to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can help one person at a time, one couple at a time, one family at a time, one street at a time, one community at a time to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, we have a work to do. You know, in the country of Israel, in Bible times, in what city was the temple of God located? Where did Solomon build a temple? And Zerubbabel build the second temple. Where was that? What was the name of that city? Yeah. The class is not responding this morning. Jerusalem. You know the answer. Typically when I ask a question, you know the answer to the question, you know? So you know what Jerusalem means? Any ever look at the breakdown of the word Jerusalem? It's a city of peace. The Salem at the end of Jerusalem is the same word that a Jewish person will greet you. Shalom. Peace. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That's where it comes from. It's a city of peace. Now, what is the name of the Christians' capital city? You know the answer. The Christian headquarters, what is it called? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus the Christ. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And John said, I saw the... Oh. So you make it sound like you don't know your headquarters. It's the New Jerusalem. And Paul says this in Galatians 4 and verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So as a Christian, you shouldn't be caught up in this thing in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, in Israel. That's not your headquarters. Your headquarters is in heaven, the New Jerusalem. At least one person is agreeing. Amen, amen, amen. The New Jerusalem. So what can I say to you today? Don't lose faith. Don't lose focus. Focus on Jesus Christ, our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, which is somewhere close to the New Jerusalem. Look to Jesus in faith. Follow the Lamb wherever He leads you. Let us work together to glorify God and to lift up human beings around us from their suffering, relieving human suffering. And there is only one way to totally bring an end to human suffering and the deliverance of all creation. You know how that is? It's God's way. It's God's way. Amen? And this is going to take place at the coming of the day of the Lord. God has put it in our power to partner with Him and to join Him in speeding up the coming of the day of God. Amen. That was read for us in our scripture reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 on down through to 13. Peter writes, "But beloved, agapetos, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." When Moses met God at the burning bush, what name did he tell Moses to go tell the Hebrews who he is? The I Am. You know what that means? That's what this text is telling you. There's no difference in time or with time for the Almighty. Yesterday, today, and forever is the same to God. Time cannot change who God is, and nothing in time can surprise God. As a matter of fact, we're told that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the I Am. And so Peter says here, 1,000 years is like a day gone by for God, and a day is like 1,000 years. Time has no impact on God. He's the author of time. Look how the text continues. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Which thief comes in the night that you have ever heard announce their coming? They come by stealth. The coming of the Lord will be by stealth to the unprepared. Those who are paying no attention to divine things will miss it. Is not what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12? It says, the wicked shall understand none of these things, but the righteous will understand, and they will shine as bright as the firmament, and they'll turn many unto righteousness. The righteous will understand. The righteous reads the signs of the times and know when the coming is near. But the wicked don't pay attention to this. The wicked is looking for the next party. The wicked is looking how to make the next million. The wicked is concerned and consumed with this life only. But the righteous is consumed with the coming of Christ and bases everything they do on that. It says here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which, so remember now, it's going to come this way to the wicked, but it's not going to be no secret rapture. It will be the loudest event that will ever have taken place in human history. When the United States was testing its nuclear weapons, even the roar of the mighty nuclear is like a quiet night to the coming of the Lord. You put all the bombs of Russia and the United States and China and France and Britain and North Korea, and you give one big explosion, and that will be very quiet compared to the coming of the day of God. As a matter of fact, all nuclear weapons will be silenced on that day. All military will go quiet. John says in Revelation that the captains and these generals, they'll be running to rocks and mountains and saying, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Even the mighty generals of America will tremble the day when Jesus comes. It's going to be powerful. It says, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Then verse 12 is our punchline today. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. You can do something about the coming of the day of God. Peter says here, you can hasten it. You can make it quicker. The first thing you do is to surrender all to Jesus. So your own life is fully surrendered to him. And so in your lifestyle, you can hasten the coming of Christ. And then beyond your own personal experience with Christ, your goal is to set out to help others to have that similar experience with Christ. Everyone who is born again into the family of God is born a missionary. You cannot be a Christian and keep it to yourself. That's impossible. Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It lights up the world around. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't do evangelism. Any person you see like that, you may encourage them to check their Christianity. Because if you know Jesus, you're going to talk about him. Amen. When your favorite sports team is on, everybody knows. You shout and you holler, you can't believe it was that quiet person, you know. Yeah, when your football team is on, your favorite football team. Or whatever your sports is, basketball, the NBA, whatever. When your team is, especially if your team is winning, oh man, nobody can talk to you. We belong to the team of Jesus Christ. And Christ is winning. We should be talking about the victories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We should be lifting up and exalting Jesus wherever we go. It says, looking for and hastening and speeding up the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen. From this reading, I hope you can clearly see why I've chosen my sermon title to be Speeding Up the Coming of the Day of God. I am here to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in praise and in preaching. So join me in lifting him up. God deserves our praises today. Amen. God's commandment keeping people ought to be watchful. Above anyone else on earth, we need to be in sync with God, in step with Christ. We need to anchor in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary by faith and remain unmoved by the attractions of the world. How old you got to be, CJ, to surrender all to Jesus Christ, Mahalia? How old you need to be? Your age is the appropriate age to serve God. Today is given. Tomorrow is not promised. God's today is much better than tomorrow. Live with God today. Live for God today. And by your lifestyle, by your witness, you can speed up the coming of the day of God. So don't go around and tell people that, oh, you've been waiting for a long time now for Jesus to come. I think Jesus wants to come more than we want him to come. He's eager to bring his people home to his eternal home. I'm doing a kitchen remodel and I can't wait to show some of you and to have a meal there with you. I'm excited about that. And for 2,000 years now, Jesus has been building the New Jerusalem. Don't you think he wants to bring you home there to have a meal with him at that table that Mrs. White saw and was many miles in length? But yet, I could look to the end and Jim is on the end and I see Jim like he was right here where the light is. We can see each other clearly over that long table. Jesus really wants to come back. And you and I are his helpers to make that happen. When you lose a loved one, those are times when you really realize you really want Jesus to come. You really want him to come. And the more we advance his kingdom, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. May we do our part to really speed up the coming of the day of God. Lord, we thank you so much for this greatest of promises, the second glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know you will put an end to all of earth's problem on that great day. So we look forward, Lord, and we hasten on to that coming day. We this morning or this day lift up the Pierce family before you. You know, Brother Elias just lost one of his brothers. Continue to be with him and the entire Pierce family. Be with the Cunninghams, Lord, in the Lynch Cunningham family. They've just lost a loved one, Donna losing her mom. Bless every person in this congregation today, Jesus. And we ask that you cover the ones who are missing. Sickness, Lord, failing health. We pray that you be with everyone. You know them, Jesus, those who are shut-ins. Be with each one of them. Cover your children. Cover the little children of our church, the youth and the grown-ups alike. And Father, we pray that you cover the communities in which we live. And like you told Jeremiah in chapter 29 and verse 7 of his book, we should pray for the peace of the city in which we dwell, because the peace of the city is also for our own peace. Oh, Father, we pray that your Spirit will move in our hearts, move in our homes, move in our schools, move in our churches, move, Lord, in the legislative halls of our county and country, and pray that your power will continue to be at work. Oh, Jesus, we pray that you fight against the evil forces that fight against us. And we ask, Jesus, that in this great controversy, we will stand squarely on the side of Christ. We will stand firmly and immovable because of your grace and your power and your truth and your majesty. Jesus, may we be glued to you because of your love. And may we surrender everything to you. Bless our hearts today. Rebuke diseases in our bodies, Lord. And for people like Sister Michelle who face surgery, Lord, this coming Thursday, pray that you give her success through that. Be with every other prayer request that was made and mentioned. Be even, Lord, with the silent ones as well. And according to your great wisdom, please answer. Jesus, above everything else, please prepare us to live for you now. And especially to be translated to heaven at your coming. Ready us, O God. And may we do everything in our power and zeal and the gifts that you've given to us. May we use everything to really hasten the day of the coming of the Lord. Thank you for hearing from heaven and for answering our prayer. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen.